Welcome to Just Think the Podcast. This is Holly.
And Amy.
And Kristen.
And today we have a very special guest with us, Rachel Doherty, who actually I'm going to let Kristen tell you a little more about. But the reason we wanted to have Rachel on is because she has a huge following on Instagram. And Rachel, honestly, you might be on TikTok and all the other things too, but we found you on Instagram. And she was talking about the connection between Alzheimer's and basically ways to prevent that. She's got a story we want her to share with you, but about how strength and muscle and movement all can impact our memory and our brains. And we know our audience is very curious about this kind of information, you know, prevention versus just having to worry about cures, trying to live and age well, and being aware of the things that can either interfere with that or help you do that. And so, Kristen, I'm going to let you take it away. Tell us how you found Rachel.
Well, this is where, you know, we say social media, we have a love-hate relationship with it, but this is where I loved it. Well, first of all, she had me at Booty and Brains. Like, that's actually her handle is Booty and Brains. But I love, well, number one, learning what we were talking about now is health and wellness, learning about prevention and the root cause, of course, muscle health, metabolic health, cellular health. I mean, that's how you're going to prevent and be in your best space. But my favorite thing is just her personality. You start following her, you watch how she presents things. It's funny. It's simple. She sends it. She delivers it in a digestible way. It's totally different than anybody else. And that's what grabbed my attention. And everything that she tells, it's educational, but it's also entertaining. And also I love all the tips because they're doable. Because I think so many people, they don't know what to think. They don't know where to start. Some people are frozen. Some people think they have to be all big and buff and go to a gym. Or some people, I love your thing about Pilates. Like, sometimes people don't have the funds to go, or they don't have the time, going to classes. Some people can't do that. So I love how you give us ways to do it at home, anywhere, and educate us while you're doing it. I also love your story. So if you want to go ahead and start with your story, how you even got on this path of Alzheimer's and how that led you down, you know, the ripple effect.
That was a lovely intro. Thank you. And everything you said is everything that I'm going for. So that's love. I love hearing that reflected back. So thank you. My name is Rachel Doherty. My mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's years ago. And I have a whole post about this, but it's like some parents have a plan, you know, and some parents don't. And my mom did not have any kind of long-term care plan. My brother and I did our best. We pieced together caretaking. She lived down the street. We did our best, but it was horrific. I mean, it was just years of, the term I use is emotionally violent. Like, it was just, it's hard to sum up like how intense emotionally that was. My mom also had bipolar disorder. It was just a lot. And my brother and I did the best that we could. So throughout this whole process, I also had young kids at the time. My kids were 3 and 7 years old, trying to take care of them. I was a stay-at-home mom, trying to supplement with caretaking. Like, it was a lot. And also trying to take care of myself and doing the best I could there. And I have this like pivotal moment that I'm sitting on the porch with my mom. We're watching my kids play out front, and we're just trying to have like a nice moment. And it just occurred to me, I'm like, what if my kids have to go through the actual traumatic nightmare that I'm currently living right now? And it was like one of those scenes in a movie. It was just like everything shifted. I'm like, what? It's like, surely I can do something. Surely I can do something. And this was now, amazingly, brain health and Alzheimer's prevention is much more part of the zeitgeist conversation, right? But this was years ago, and this was not being taught. Like, I think Peter Attia maybe had mentioned a few things, but like, there was not a lot of conversation around this. And so I dug everywhere I could. And then the first thing I learned was that Alzheimer's is directly linked to metabolic health. I'm like, okay, well, what is metabolic health? Like, what does that mean? I'm like, okay, something about blood sugar. What does that mean? And then just like, I just kept reverse engineering it. I'm like, well, what affects blood sugar? I'm like, well, what? And then I think I found, that's the time around, I found Dr. Gabrielle Lyon. I don't know if y'all are familiar with her.
Yes, love her.
Yes, me too. And I was looking into blood sugar, and then I was like, oh, the power of muscle and really connecting what muscle does. Or like, I didn't know, you know, I've been into fitness my whole life. Like, I had no but I had no concept of that outside of aesthetics and vanity, right? Like, you know, I grew up in the 80s and 90s too. So just learning about how to help our body from this functional perspective outside of all things diet culture, of all things, and really understanding what happens when you listen to your body and you do the things that serve your body well and the difference that it makes in how I feel and how I function. Oh, sorry, I'm getting away from Alzheimer's. And how all of that has to do with brain health. All of this has to do with, we can get more into the details later, but how insulin resistance is not just in your body, it also affects your brain and what that means for your cognitive future. And that Alzheimer's is not just something that appears later on down the line. It is not a natural part of aging. One of the first hurting things I heard was Alzheimer's is in your brain up to 20 years before symptoms appear. And when I first heard that, I was thinking like, okay, maybe Alzheimer's is just like a wonky gene, and then it starts wreaking havoc ahead of time. Like, I had no idea that Alzheimer's is accumulated damage to your brain over time, and we are causing the damage. And so what is the best thing that you can do for damage is prevent it. And there's yes. just so, so much that we can do, and so much that we are unknowingly hurting ourselves. And my whole aim is to help people, because this is actually one of the things that sparked the first like post that blew up on my account about a year ago. As a doctor that I know, love and respect, she actually follows y'all. I like her, I won't name her name, but she had a post about like, okay, how to prevent Alzheimer's. Don't have a big belly. I'm like, that's not helpful information for anyone. That's like, what is that doing for people? How can we do that? How can I like help people understand the gravity of the situation without in a way that's digestible, in a way that they can hear, and in a way that's actionable? Yes. How can I give people something that they can do that it's not, because I am appreciative clearly of all the work and the research and the neuroscientists that have a lot of information out there about what we need to be doing. And I think it comes down to things that we all know we should be doing, right? Eating right and exercising, basically. And now we know that this really affects your brain, but like, okay, well, now this is coming down to a behavior issue. Now this is coming down to like, this is not an information problem. You know, this is a behavior change problem. So how can I help people, give people the information that they need while giving them some actionable, tangible, doable things and approachable? Like, how can we remove all these barriers to entry for movement and exercise? And how can I explain that this is so much bigger than vanity and the size of your pants and the number on the scale? So right. That's my whole MO.
Our listeners know that the three of us are passionate about exposing the broken systems within our society, revealing how the quest for money and power has corrupted so many of them so that they no longer serve us.
That's right. We talk a lot about our broken medical system, and that includes our broken medical insurance system. We believe that it is time we dismantle the broken systems and work together to rebuild new ones that actually serve us.
And that's why we're excited to share an answer we found as an alternative to your traditional insurance plan that charges you exorbitant monthly payments and deductibles, then asks you to pay even more when you get sick, that controls your medical decisions, including what your physician is allowed to do and prescribe, and that rakes in billions as corporations at our expense.
That's why we love CrowdHealth. We interviewed CEO Andy Schoonover in episode 106, which we encourage you all to check out to learn more. But Andy founded CrowdHealth after experiencing firsthand just how inept and outrageous insurance companies have become.
CrowdHealth is not an insurance company, but a platform and a community that empowers you with a crowdfunding tool and a wealth of resources to efficiently manage your healthcare costs. And it's an excellent alternative to health insurance, allowing us to escape the healthcare matrix and put us and our healthcare providers back in charge.
Ever since my family and I made the switch to CrowdHealth, not only are we proud to be part of a company with integrity, but we love that we are free from the broken insurance system. We will never be part of that system again. We've had nothing but an A-plus experience. From before we even enrolled, we connected with an advocate who answered our questions. Then upon enrollment, we were immediately assigned a personal advocate who is literally a text away anytime I need her. If you follow them on Instagram and Twitter, you will see not only how much they truly care about each of the members, but also how much money they save us. This is why we encourage all of you to go to joincrowdhealth.org to learn more and to use code JUSTTHINK to get your first 3 months of membership for just $99 a month. Again, it's joincrowdhealth.org with discount code JustThink. You can also reference our Just Think the podcast Substack for more information.
Thankfully, as you said, we have moved into a new era of where strong is the new skinny, where people are recognizing that strong is so critically important. And it's not, like you said, it's not about aesthetics or vanity. And it's not this fear that women have, I'm going to get bulkier, I'm going to look masculine, all the stuff that we're now able to say, not true, not true. There's a lot more to this, but that strength is so critical. Strength is just critical to every piece of your health, ladies. And that strength training, weight training is not for the men only, it's for all of us. And that the very real connection, not just to your body, your heart, your lungs, to your brain, and the connection between your gut and your brain, we now know far more. I feel like there's more, like you said, in the stratosphere, like for consumption now about that than there was a decade ago, Rachel. So you really are, you're now kind of a hip. Like you're what you were saying before everyone else maybe was talking about it. You know, we do have more of this information out there. So what did you decide was kind of your niche? Like you knew you had figured out a lot of this. But what is your niche when people can go and follow you? What is kind of the niche that you're trying to empower people with? What's the information you're trying to empower with and drive home to them every day?
That's a funny that you should ask, because when I started, when I changed my life, I changed my body, and I was like, this is big. There's something really big here. This is like 4 years ago. I'm like, okay, how do I talk about this? I was like, no one cares about brain health. No one wants to hear this online. So I'm like, how do I sell brain health via fitness? Right. Mm-hmm. Like, and so when I think about like my early content, I'm trying to like sell brain health, being like, push-ups are cool, but let's talk about metabolic. and it wasn't until I got really, I never felt good about that. I'm like, I'm not trying to come at this from like a weight loss perspective. I was like, this is so much bigger. And how do I communicate that? And I spent a long time like just swirling around there until finally I was like, no, this is who I want to help. This is who I can speak to. And this is who can hear me. The adult children, the sons and daughters of people with Alzheimer's. And the second I got clear, and it's clearly I'm not only speaking to these people, but like the second I got clear, I'm like, oh, I don't have to sell brain health because these people are me. These people know the impact. Like I have chills just talking about it. These people know the depths of this gut wrenching disease. I don't have to sell anything. All I have to do is explain like what we can do. And so really that's who I'm talking to is me for 4 years ago. Like if I had found a me, like people write me and tell me this, and I put myself in those in their shoes of like, if I had found a me 4 years ago, like it makes me weepy to think about like someone that knows what I'm talking about, that like that is trying to do something that is and that can like give me some guidance here rather than just like all the things we need to take care of, you know?
Yeah.
So that's
I think it kind of comes across with too, like, okay, some people are motivated by vanity. Some people just want to go to the gym because they want to look good. All right. Some people are motivated for different reasons, but some people don't even realize that doing squats is going to help their brain health. And so if they know that, and if that is their motivating factor, if they do have a family, if Alzheimer's does run in their family, if they have a parent with that, if they've seen somebody go through that, it is a very difficult thing to go through. My grandma had it. Like a lot of people, most people know somebody that has had it. Okay. Yes. And so if you know, like that could be the motivating factor that gets somebody to do 10 squats every time you go to the bathroom, you know, or while you're watching TV, take your canned, I love how, you know, like the canned food and do some arm raises, you know, there are just little things that you tell people. One of the things that I love is it's fat, right?
I was so scared to post that.
I love it.
Well, first of all, fat is good for you anyway. You need fat for your brain. Right. And she has all kinds of, she explains it so much better in such a more entertaining way than I do. But I love how you say fat, because there are days, a lot of us will, now some people do make the time and can get to the gym 5 a.m. every day, yada, yada. I am not one of those people. And my day depends on, sometimes I have to make a lot of calls or something. So I just walk a lot. And like pretty much if I'm talking to somebody, I'm walking, I'm on the vibration plate, I'm on the rebounder, I'm moving. And you have given people grace like that where, or I do push-ups. I've been doing 50 push-ups a day. So I do like 10 push-ups, 10, 20 push-ups at a time in different spurts of the day. You don't have to do it all at once. Well, yes, there are sometimes that we do a big workout, but let that out of your brain. As long as you are moving, you are helping your brain and your body.
Well, I think we need to back up just real quick too, because like one of the things that, you know, we said we love about you is how everything is so digestible and you make it all just make sense. But so why does exercise, like we're saying, yes, exercise for your brain health, but why does it affect our brain health? Like, what is it about building muscle and exercising that makes our brains prevent Alzheimer's or work better?
I'm really glad you asked, because I think it's so, so, this is also what I like. I can't just tell people like do push-ups. Like, you got to understand. I think it's really, really powerful to understand the mechanisms behind. Right. And then you have like, it's, there's so much more deeper meaning. And when there's deeper meaning, there's more oomph behind it, you know, behind the actual action. So the reason muscle, especially even just something as simple as a 10-minute walk or 30 squats or however many squats you can do, or a set of push-ups, or even just some simple, some simple movement after eating, when you eat your, especially carbohydrates or sugar or anything, your blood sugar, the glucose gets in your blood, that glucose has to be processed. And so if you move your body after about 30 minutes of eating, after the glucose has had a second to hit your blood, your muscles are contracting and using up that glucose. The more you use up the glucose via muscle contraction, the less your insulin has to manage it. And it's all about insulin sensitivity. Everything, so much chronic disease, not just Alzheimer's, so much chronic disease is behind insulin resistance. And so before I understood this, I would hear like insulin and glucose and like, some people were talking about like in one ear out the other, like this is like, I didn't understand. And so I do my best to try and explain it in ways that people, you know, it's like glucose, there's too much of it, insulin has to manage it. And if insulin is basically knocking on the door of the cell door saying like, hey, I got some glucose. And if you're insulin sensitive, you like, you hear a knock, you open the door, great. But if after 400 knocks, the cell doors are resistant to opening the door. So the glucose cannot get in the cells very easily. We're dependent on more and more insulin, making us more and more insulin resistant. And this happens in our brain too, with the neurons in our brain. So there are some parts of our brain that are not dependent on insulin to open the doors, but one of the parts of our brain that is dependent on insulin is the hippocampus, which is responsible for memory and learning. So it's really important to understand the depth of importance on insulin sensitivity and our muscle contraction. The healthier our skeletal muscle is, support your glucose management, basically. And so insulin is not having to work overtime all the time.
Which, I mean, it makes sense. We've heard for years that Alzheimer's is really type 3 diabetes. And so basically I think the average person understands that diabetes has to do with insulin and insulin resistance, right? And so what you're basically saying is that it's not just about what's going on in someone's pancreas. It's about the fact that this glucose and this insulin have a job to do. And if we're doing things that make that job harder, this is where the deterioration begins. And because of the way that impacts the brain, another very important organ in our bodies, that is where the memory part of this is being affected, which really, actually, you just explained that beautifully. It makes total sense. And so then, therefore, if we know that the glucose-insulin relationship is the problem, we already know what muscle and movement does for the body to help make all that work more efficiently together. And then the more sedentary we are, the worse that is, worse our nutrition is, the worse that can become, right? When you have a very high sugar diet, there's all those things. And so it makes sense to just simply say, if we understand exactly what you just explained, then as we try to have healthy muscle, strong, healthy muscle, as we work towards that, and we're moving, especially after a meal, to help that process work more efficiently, what we're all not just doing, we're not just doing our waistlines or, you know, our muscles a favor, we're literally doing our brains a big favor as well. Mm-hmm. Do I have that right? that sound right,
yes,
Rachel?
Exactly. And we can get insulin resistance in our muscle as well. But the beautiful thing about muscle contraction is that when you contract your muscle, you no longer need insulin to open the doors. And so contraction is huge. It bypasses the need for insulin. It's huge.
That's awesome. Okay. So really the glucose, when the muscles are contracting, the glucose can go do its job without insulin assistance is what you're saying.
Okay.
Well, then there's a reason right there to go do a squat.
Exactly.
And that's all you need to know.
Exactly. And it's like, it's important to think like this, this doesn't have to be a boot camp workout. This doesn't have to be burpees. This doesn't have to be approachable movement, and that it's really impactful.
Well, so what are some like approachable movements? Like what are some of the movements that you tell people, like we're thinking about people in their 60s, 70s, 80s, mm-hmm. they just ate a meal. Aside from going for a walk, if you're not trying to go do a CrossFit workout, what are some things that would impact this process and impact, you know, the muscle contraction movements that could impact insulin that are doable for everyone that they can do right in their kitchen?
Mm-hmm. So everyone says like 10,000 steps, but the reason I wanted to post about squats is that not everyone has time for, like, I would love to be walking for 3 hours a day. Not everyone has time to do that. So I was trying to think, how can we use large muscle groups, a large muscle group in a short amount of time? So I was like, okay, squats would be great. It's using very large muscles. It's going to soak up a lot of glucose. So squats are hugely impactful, but a lot of people have knee problems. And so, I was actually thinking about this last night. I was going to sleep. I was like, oh, I should talk about calf raises more. There's a thing called soleus pushups, and you can do those sitting, you know, you can do them quickly. There's like some special thing happening. I don't know too much in the science, but there's some special thing happening in the calf muscle that uses up a lot of glucose. But I was thinking about this. I was like, cause I do it standing at the grocery store line. I'll just stand there and do, it's totally for sure awkward to do squats in public like that.
Calf raises than squats. Like I've
got calf raises. Yes. Right. No one, like if you're just sitting there going up and down your toes, everyone's like, it's not that big of a deal. Yeah. Squats. Yeah. Okay, fine. Yeah. That's a little weird. Calf raises. You can get away with doing that anywhere, anytime. Or yeah, simple walk. A lot of people, you know, not everyone is, has functions of their legs. So, you know, even arm raises or holding 2 cans of soup or 1 pound weights and just doing simple arm raises like this, or I try to think, being creative of all the other little movements. Oh yeah.
Push-ups. I know you said countertop pushups, even like
countertop. Just, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Or even wall pushups. Just there's lots of ways to just, or I used to work on a third story of a building and I'd always take the stairs. And sometimes I would walk up to the fifth floor because that's where they had the stacks. But I would I would just take stairs all the time. Just always opt for the stairs.
But what you're basically saying is adopting a lifestyle of just including movement when you could be sedentary or you could be still. You're just making, you're being conscious of the fact that, oh, I could just contract my muscles here in very specific ways. And it's going to help my brain. It's going to help my body.
Yes.
It's going to help my brain. It's going to help my, you know, it's going to help every part. And I think because we are in a culture that is historically allowed to be so still, that what we all have to just accept is that is not healthy. That is not good. We were not built for just constant stillness. We were not built to go have a meal, then lay on the couch. Think about it. Think about what our ancestors had to do when they had a meal. I mean, first of all, they probably had to kill it, clean it, cook it, and then put, you know, like there was no convenience. That's not how we're made. And so when we're being conscious about the fact that, oh, I just cleaned up, I just washed the dishes, or I'm standing here washing the dishes, I'm going to do calf raises while I wash the dishes. Simple things, the consciousness of that and doing it, you will not believe what that can do for your body and your brain, right?
Yeah.
And there's studies too, right? Aren't there some studies that like show this? I know you've cited some and like in some of your reels about what walking does to decrease, you know, Alzheimer's and things like that.
Yes. There's one that says, I think it's like 10 squats per hour for a series of 8 hours is way more beneficial than, I forget the amount of walking.
Some 30
like
30 walking,
is it 30 maybe? Minutes?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, how for, you know, people that don't have any mobility issues, how accessible is 10 squats an hour? That's really, really accessible. Or I liked what you said, Holly, about just bringing some conscious awareness to it, because we forget. My kid's soccer game and everyone's sitting. I'm like, oh, I could just walk around. I could still watch him play soccer, but I'm walking around just remembering that like I could do this and just bringing some awareness.
just
connecting, just walking around to, like you said, like understanding that this just walking around or just doing 10 squats actually affects your insulin and your brain health. Like if people can just, I think knowing that is going to help more people want to not sit on the sidelines at the soccer game.
Exactly.
Or want to do like calf raises at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. I just think people may not know, you know? And so that's why it's important.
It is. It's connecting to the impact. Cause I think a lot of people are like, well, it doesn't matter. Like whatever, like a walk doesn't matter. Like it doesn't matter. It does matter.
Well, and you know, it matters, Rachel, because you unfortunately lived the, what I would call, I said this before we started recording, that I knew of someone that got a Alzheimer's diagnosis recently, and I found out about it yesterday. And my mom and I were talking about it, and I said, I don't know if there's a worse thing. That is one thing I would not want to get, and I don't want a family member to get, because it is a slow death. It is a slow grief. It's horrible. I think it's pretty horrible. You lived it, Rachel. You lived it. So there's no more motivation you can give someone than to have lived the horrors of caretaking for someone with Alzheimer's. And so you had a motivation to prevent this for yourself because you saw, as you shared, what it did to your mom, and then you didn't want your kids to go through that. Sadly, most Americans like to live, it seems, well, I shouldn't say most. A lot of people like to live or seem to like the comfort of just saying, you know, can't worry about the future. We can't. And they don't get serious about their health until they have to.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's too late. I mean, not always too late. There is always, you know, I also like to say you can always, there's never too late of a time to start, right?
Yes.
But
yes,
the most important thing is to just, as I'm listening to you, is to think, I feel like a lot of people think, oh, I don't have diabetes, I don't have blood sugar issues. Yes. But they don't realize that all of this starts, it's all of the chronic diseases are cumulative effects. Okay. And I wanted to read this study. This is a really good, that's a great book, Good Energy. But yeah. Also, Blind Spots by Dr. Marty McCary. He's talking about all kinds of when medicine gets it wrong. And he probably has a whole thing in here about Alzheimer's. I just haven't gotten to it, but he was talking about hormone replacement therapy, but he talked about women, the stats with Alzheimer's. And I just want people to grasp this. And this is not, once again, we don't present things to make people fearful. We want you to be educated and informed and empowered to take control of your health and take ownership. And it's very simple activities. It's just that we've gotten complacent and lazy and nobody's educating us because our public health officials really don't care about our health. I just had, you know, I got to say that. So now they do. Now they do. It's for, so, or hopefully it's changing. He said, let's put this benefit in context. For every woman diagnosed today with breast cancer, 2 are diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Keep in mind that breast cancer is 90% curable and Alzheimer's has a 0% cure rate. So why are we not hearing so much about Alzheimer's? Why are we not hearing or seeing so many studies on prevention? You know, and I know that they've got like, he even talked about like the drugs that they've got for Alzheimer's that don't even work, that, or that it was like based on crap science. Shocking.
Yep.
So this is where it, once again, don't depend on a medicine, and there's a time and a place for therapy, treatment, you know, interventions, but the most important thing is prevention and just being aware.
Right.
Yes. And to speak to that, I think it's hugely, because I think we, a lot of us came from a time where it was like it was all external. We were kind of like passive participants of our health. Like, oh, they'll take it. They'll tell us what we need or like, but now it's a much more active, we have to be actively engaged and continuously inform ourselves on this because it's not like they've got it wrong a lot. And it is, it's two, every Alzheimer's case is, there are 2 out of 3 cases are women.
2 out of 3, you guys, 2 out of 3. And yet you really don't hear about this nearly as much as you do about breast cancer or reproductive cancers. You just don't. But again, if you've ever seen someone, I mean, cancer's horrible. It's just that whole Alzheimer's progression is brutal. I think it's pretty brutal also. And we do need more information around it. But I think basically what I wish, if we could impart any encouragement to every listener right now, which is this doesn't have to be that complicated. When you bring the consciousness, and this is what we love about you, Rachel, is that you are just literally simplifying the fact that it's actually not or doesn't have to be hard for you to build muscle and for you to help your glucose do its job. It's actually not overly complicated. There are very simple things you can do daily that you just incorporate into your routine. And of course, we would add to that, the fuel you put in your body also needs to be helpful.
Yes.
You know, like this whole idea that we can live off fast food and lay our tails on our couch daily is not going to lead to any good outcome. Mm-hmm. Ever.
Right.
We can't do it. So, but it doesn't like Kristen was saying, you don't have to have a gym membership. Although all three of us love to go sweat it out, or, you know, we love to push our bodies to the limit sometimes, but our daily stuff is really finding time to get those squats or those push-ups in and getting some steps in and just moving. Mm-hmm. Just moving. And if you just start to do that, you know, truly it's brainsandbooty.co. There's a .co at the end.
Yes, there is. Yes. Someone has the original Booty and Brains. I want to make sure
people can find you because you literally walk them through. You explain it in like quick little videos, you guys. She'll just, it's on your Instagram.
It's so funny. I loved your sprinting one when you were like,
oh yeah.
Actually, my son was at football practice, and I have actually started, instead of like running an errand or dropping him off and coming back, especially if it's far, I do a workout, or I'll walk, or I do squats, or I do something. And I was like, well, there's a track. And I'm like, maybe I'll sprint, because I saw yours. And of course, I was cussing too. But mm-hmm. I'm going to have to share. I'll share some in our Substack anyway, some of my favorites. But like, I just love the way you do it. I love your personality. It's just amazing. And tell us more
everybody
about
I know Kristen mentioned your acronym FAT. So just real quick, tell everybody what that is so they know.
Oh yeah. I meant to clarify that. Yes. It's fitness all the time. Little bit of fitness, little bit all the time.
Love that.
Fitness all the time.
That's doable. That's doable. Mm-hmm. That is not intimidating. And you also have a free master class. And then you also have something else coming next month. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. So I have a free masterclass. I've only just recently started talking about fat loss, which it like terrifies me because again, like diet culture and it's just not my MO. Like I don't focus on posting pictures of my body online, you know, like this is not the focus. But however, fat loss is not just an aesthetic issue. It's a functional issue. So I have a masterclass if you want to learn more about all things fat loss from a brain health perspective, not from a diet culture perspective. These are two different stances. And you can find that on if you go to my link tree on my Instagram.
Yes.
I need to make that more cohesive, but yes.
Right. That's on your Instagram, there's a link right on your Instagram where everybody can find basically free fat loss masterclass. It's like the first thing.
Yes, that one. And then I also am going to be releasing, I've done a few cohorts of my program from Stuck to Strong. And so going back to what you said, Holly, it's also because exercise, yes, but I don't have an exercise program to refer people to yet. What I have focused on was the other, it's a two-pronged approach, right? It's the building our capacity to manage all the glucose, and that is building our muscle and exercise. And it is to stop the constant inundation of influx of glucose coming down the pipeline. And there's a lot more involved in that than just like, don't eat cake. There's a lot that goes out to that affects our blood sugar and our glucose that has nothing to do with eating. That has a lot. So I have a program that's basically focused on how to incorporate, because this is a behavior change problem. This is not just a knowledge acquisition problem.
Yes.
It's a knowledge implementation problem. So it's all about how to adopt these small, simple habits in an approachable way, and also deeply understand. It's 28 days of micro lessons where you deeply understand. You get to like, you come out of the course with a depth of understanding of how everything functions. So it's not just like a protocol of like, do this, don't do this. It's gaining a depth of understanding. So you have some autonomy around it. It's like understanding the guidelines to operate within. So a lot of people are like, is this a meal plan? I'm like, not a meal plan. It's just like, it's like understanding what the different macronutrients will do for you and the cause and effect. And it is it's all about connecting to that, because that is what is behind. I'm interested in long-term behavior change.
Yes.
So it's a slow, it's not a diet. And it's like a slow, because it's a lifestyle. This is not like a 30-day challenge situation, because when you overhaul, you come back, and it's like, it's all like, how do we turn the ship, right? How do we just slowly turn the ship? And it's like one little step at a time. And the next thing you know, you're going in a completely different direction. So I'm all about helping people do that in a way that's not overwhelming. That's a way that's doable and connecting to the depth of understanding of your function. Because that's impactful.
I do that because I know that you, just the way you present it. Sorry, Holly, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted to say, like, whenever I see something and I've like tried to do it and then there's like a whole meal plan and all the calendar, I'm like, I shut down. I'm like,
no, same. Yes. The same way. The second something even says like, oh, and it comes with a grocery list, I'm like, nope, I'm out.
I don't want a grocery list. Yep.
In the same way. I'm like, I cannot make a program like that.
I cannot.
Just go to Booty, B-O-O-T-Y, bootyandbrains.co. If you just go there and start learning, right? Like, let that be your step one today. Go follow her and just start learning, because she really will just give you tidbits of information that when you file that away, you can start applying it to your life, and you'll be inspired to incorporate some of these things in just to your daily routine. I know for me, and let me also say, if you have been a sedentary person and the idea of like movement is overwhelming and intimidating or whatever, let me just say, there is a principle in the universe that an object at rest tends to stay at rest, and an object in motion tends to stay in motion, right? And it's a universal principle. And I have found in my own life, I know Kristen and Amy can speak to this too, the more active I am, the easier it is to be active and stay active. So what I mean by that is, if I'm laying on the couch after a big meal, I may not want to get up and go walk outside. But when I get up and walk outside, I find, well, the easier it is to stay in that motion, okay? If you can discipline your brain to stop negotiating with you to sit from movement, the more you do it, the more you're actually going to find it easier and you'll crave it. So even when I'm in the kitchen sometimes, I'll get up between my countertops and just do push-ups. You know, just why? I mean, I don't even think about it. I'm like, let's just get some push-ups. I don't know, because I actually crave motion now. Actually crave movement, because I think you just start to intuitively understand what it's doing for you. It's not like because I'm trying to get bigger muscles. It's not because I'm trying to prove anything. It's because I want to actually move.
Well, and I think conversely, we've all been in the rut situation, all of us, I'm sure, like where when you go for a while without working out, like say you've been sick or you just get off your routine, it is hard to get back. That first step to get back into it is the hardest.
Yes.
When you're like, you know, but it's like once you just like rip that Band-Aid off and just do something, then you will continue to build on that. So if you're in that rut situation where you haven't worked out in a while or you haven't been doing things and you literally have no energy or motivation to do it, it's because you're in the rut. If you can just push yourself out of it, just that one time, I promise you, it will get better from there.
Yes. And to add to that is to push yourself out of it with a gentle, doable step.
Yeah.
With like a 10 minute walk. That's like not, it's not like I have to go to CrossFit or like, you know, it's like, and to give yourself some grace and some compassion for that to be okay. And for you to feel good about that being the step, and then you'll take that step, and then you'll take that win, and that win will propel you forward.
Mm-hmm. Any movement is better than no movement. That's like what I end up saying too. Like especially if you're in that place, and I'll say too, don't beat yourself up for taking a nap. If you take a freaking power nap, you will get up and be ready to go. I'm all about a nap. Yes. Amy is too. And then also I do feel like having an accountability person is great too. Amy and I, we live like a mile from each other. And so sometimes it'll be like, you want to go for a walk? I'm like, no, but I need to. And so we'll just meet each other and go.
Yes.
I wanted to lay down, but then you go, you start talking. I mean, and then we end up, it'll be like, I just need to go for just a few minutes. And then it's like 30 or 40 minutes later. And now you walk for 40 minutes, you know?
Exactly.
So not everybody has that, but you know, just do know it's okay. If you are tired, take a little rest, but then get your butt up and go. You can do hard things. And walking 10 minutes is not hard. In the grand scheme, it's not hard.
And your future self will thank you, right? this is present self will thank you, because in that moment, you are going to feel better. But again, just to tie it all back to what Rachel learned and is trying to demonstrate, it is about your future self, because these chronic diseases are happening invisibly over time. And so we want to block that. And Rachel, I wanted to ask you, I'm going to assume you weren't like a fitness instructor or nutritionist or doctor or, okay, you were literally a human who lived through an experience with your mom and then started researching and reading. Am I right?
Yes. So, okay. So some people ask me like, what are your credentials? I'm like, nothing that has anything to do with this. However, any information I share, any research I share, because I'm not credentialed, I back it up, you know, like, so I'm not making it up.
Girl, so, we get you because we say the same thing. When people say, well, how do you know all this about X, Y, and Z? We go, we can read.
I can read.
Yeah,
I can
exactly. Read. Because it's not secret information. So I rely on the researchers and then I broadcast, I make that information louder and more digestible, but I am relying on, credible
information. You have a gift. You do have a gift of taking information that some people, it would just go right over their head or they don't understand how to apply it. And you do truly have a gift to make it understandable, memorable, and where you can apply it. So, I mean, I do think that there are not many people can do that.
Thanks. I appreciate that. That's what I lean on I see myself as a science communicator.
There you go. Right. I like that.
Yeah.
There's your credentials. Well, you know, again, like I said, we created this podcast out of literally just reading and talking. So, I mean, literally, and let that be an encouragement to everyone. You know, if you want to learn about something, you can. You actually can. And we're thankful for people like you, Rachel, that make it a little more digestible and inspirational as well, so that you can take what you're saying and y'all, I mean, go follow her instantly. You'll be like, oh, let me just do some squats, like 10 squats while I'm sitting here at the, you know, at the washing machine. I'm going to do 10 squats. Every time I put something into the dishwasher, I'm going to squat it out. I'm going to take it, squat it out. You would not believe like what you can do in really short spurts of time that make a difference.
Yep.
Exactly. Or just like a few sets of pushups. Like I'll do pushups throughout the day and then I'll go back and count. I'm like, I did 100 pushups today or just whatever. Like but it didn't feel like I was overexerted myself because I just kind of sprinkled it through in a way that felt doable.
There you go.
Rachel, you have something coming up too, I know, in October. We wanted to give you a chance to talk about this so that when people do find you, they won't miss the window to join you in what's coming next. So you want to talk about that before we wrap it up?
Yes. Thank you for bringing it up. So this is the program that I was referring to, From Stuck to Strong. We start, it's a live cohort version of the course, which is new. So it'll be live weekly coaching Q&A calls and daily micro lessons dripped out so you can't skip ahead. I did that on purpose. And all about teaching you how to incorporate habits in a very manageable, not life overhaul, not overwhelming way. And in a way that just can actually move the needle because you do them in a sustainable, you continue, you don't stop. I just teach you in a way that you don't stop. So that's my aim. And we start that on October 6th. So you can check that on my website, which is bootyandbrains.co.
All right, guys, go follow her on Instagram, go check out her links. And just remember this, your future self will thank you for the things, the positive things you do today. Your future self will thank you. And this whole idea of aging and things being inevitable, let's quit that too, right? Or it's in my family, it's genetic. Let's stop that too, right? Mm-hmm. Let's go back to saying, let me be empowered today to make the choices that I just know. I don't know everything, but I know this is a better choice for me. I'm going to make those choices today. So I feel good today, but so that my future self thanks me for the decisions I'm making today too, because we can do it. It's time to take our power back. I think we all know. By now, if you've been paying attention, it's up to you. Not your doctor, not your nutritionist, not anybody. It's up to you. And we're here to help do these things with you. So, Rachel, thank you so much for giving us some time today.
Thank you. This has been a delight. Y'all are lovely.
We love you.
Well, you're going to be probably hearing more from us because we're all on the booty and brains train now.
Awesome. I love it.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye, y'all.